You are listening to Fanthatrax.
Fast ship. Never heard of a Winter Paul?
Should I have?
It's the ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs.
What a piece of junk!
Covering Star Wars vehicles in less than 12 parsecs, this is Start Your Engines.
Don't get technical with me.
Here are your hosts, Paul Naylor and Mark Newbold.
You listen to Start Your Engines. I'm your co-host, Mark Newbold, and joining me today is a man who, well, I would share a Stormfall twin pod cloud car with you any day. It's Paul Naylor.
That's probably mainly because we wouldn't have to talk to each other.
I never even thought of that. What a depressingly logical thought.
I wonder if one steered one way and one steered the other way, if it would snap.
Do you think it's like, you know, when you're a kid and you're learning how to drive? And the driving instructor takes over when you're driving towards the roundabout as opposed to round it?
Yeah, that sounds like my first test all over again.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was that on Bespin?
That was not on Bespin, but it was a lot of gas.
So you may have noticed or picked up that we are today talking about the Stormfall twin pod cloud car from The Empire Strikes Back. What's your first memory of seeing that vehicle? I mean, presumably it was seeing the film, but of course, we had, you know, the toy and the figure and all the other stuff that came out. So what's your first sort of abiding memory of the cloud car?
My first memory of it is, it was unlike anything else in Star Wars, and it more or less followed the more Phantom Menace kind of aesthetic, where everything was brand spanking new. It was the only bright, garish vehicle that I can recall that didn't look in any way weathered. It looked Art Deco.
Yeah.
It's got a very, very weird look about it. I don't know whether our American listeners will be familiar with the Mr. Men books by Roger Hargreaves, but it had the profile of Mr. Nosey.
That's a great... Wow. Wow.
Although he was green and these were very orange.
These were very orange. It's weird. What a deep dive. Maybe, you know, like Hamburger was the inspiration for the Millennium Falcon. Now we know Mr. Nosey was the inspiration for the cloud car.
I'd love that.
Wouldn't it? The vehicle, I mean, when you see pictures of the cloud car up close, you realise it actually was kind of weathered. But when you see it on screen, it, like you say, because of the colour of it, it looks so pristine and so out of place almost with everything else, because everything we've seen in Star Wars and up to that point in Empire was really sort of knocked around and battered. I mean, the last new ship you see is Slave One.
Mm.
You know, I mean, in the special edition in Slave One, you don't see it so much to such detail in the original version, more in the special edition. But nevertheless, that's the other vehicle, and there's the Falcon flying through the clouds. It was so unlike anything else that we've seen, and really unlike anything we've seen since.
No, I mean, I think the only stablemate that it would look probably appropriate next to would be the bright yellow N1 Starfighter.
Yeah.
It's got that same sort of Art Deco feel to it.
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
Too many Art Decos in this one.
But it's a great point, though. I mean, Macquarie was definitely influenced by that, wasn't it? It's right there, isn't it?
Yeah. When the actual toy came out, and this happened a lot with Star Wars toys, where the vehicles would come out longer before the actual pilot would come out. So I think I'm right in saying that if you looked on the box art, you've got Bespin security guards in the pods rather than the cloud car pilots, which came out about figure line after the vehicle was released. The toy, for me, was probably the most accurate in terms of scale to the figures. Obviously, the mini rigs were something else, but your X-Wing was definitely not big enough. Your TIE Fighter, probably nowhere near big enough. But the twin pod did look as if it was about the right dimensions.
I'd love to know. I mean, you make a great point, because even things like, you know, the Wampa was probably bigger than the figure, than the Tauntaun certainly was. You know, there's certain vehicles and creatures. The Rancor was probably fairly close. But in terms of that, I bet the Snowspeeder wasn't a million miles away. But
do you remember seeing it in the shops?
The twin pod?
Yeah,
and frustratingly, it was one of the vehicles that me and my old mate Paul, whose collection I bought off him years ago now, because our collections kind of complemented each other. We didn't, but we kind of
collected together.
You would think,
I'm brothers.
When I got the Star Destroyer, he got the Rebel Transport, or you know, whatever it may be. And of course, everybody had an ATA, everybody had an AT-ST and a Falcon. But the other vehicles, we were quite complementary in that sense. Although he never got the Ewok village, he never got the Dagobah set, and neither did I. So I still need those. And weird, I never got the Jew back, and neither did he. But and neither of us got the cloud car. So oddly, the cloud car is one of those missing vehicles.
You've still not got it today.
No, and it's on the list of things to get. And thankfully, I'm not overly fussed about them being in mega condition. I just like to know they're
just
in there.
Just displayable.
Hey, it's Alyssa Wong, writer of Dr. Aphra, and you're listening to Fanthatrax.
Manufacturer.
Manufactured by Bespin Motors. It's a cloud car, Storm 4 twin pod, as we say, and an atmospheric repulsor craft. So you mentioned the N1. When Phantom Menace came out, to my mind, of course, they're in space having a space battle, but we kind of know that that's upper atmosphere. So I always thought the N1 was a vehicle that wouldn't really go much further than that.
Mm.
Not really until the Mandalorian really threw it in your face. Like, wow, this is a spacefaring vessel. This thing can
pretty massively modified, don't you?
But the twin pod is definitely, it's a repulsor craft, so it's not a vehicle that can go into space. It's essentially a patrol vehicle. 75,000 credits new, 28,000 used. So 75,000 seems like a lot for a vehicle like that. But then I suppose when you're in somewhere like Bespin, Terminopolis is there doing the Tabana gas mining, and there's Cloud City doing what it's doing, and it's, you know, it's a high-end facility, you know, and you've got a dude like Lando running it, you know, who doesn't skimp. It seems appropriate for the location, doesn't it?
It's also, it's one of the few vehicles that got a little bit of extra screen time when the special editions came out.
That's true.
Because you got it through the windows of Cloud City, and I'm sure it was a different approach as well from the Falcon.
Yeah, it was.
So remember when you're watching that approach from the Falcon, and that twin pod just tilts, and you're peeking in going, ooh, what do these pilots look like? And even the card back that came out for that one was a pretty weird thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It looked like a model rather than an actual person, didn't it?
Yeah.
It was very sort of straight on helmet.
But don't you think, because we knew so little about that vehicle and about the guy flying it, that when that cat figure came out, I remember even back in the day as a kid thinking, this is an odd figure to be bringing out, but it was such a good-looking figure.
It almost felt like it should have been with the Action Force figures that came out towards the end of the Star Wars line.
But it's a sculpt. It even feels more like a Jedi sculpt than an Empire sculpt.
It got that bent arm.
Yeah.
It had got two accessories. It got a gun, and it also got the comlink, which, although it's just like basically a little slab of grey plastic with a couple of little bits of detail on it, that is an absolute nightmare to find.
Yeah.
I've got one.
Engine specs.
It had twin pods connected by a repulsor lift engine. It was powered by an iron engine. The vehicle's pilot controlled the craft from the port side. The gunner was on the starboard side.
Armament.
At the controls was a pair of light blaster cannons. So it could look after itself. Obviously, when you see the Falcon come to Cloud City, they fire a couple of warning shots. I don't think anybody's thinking for a second that a cloud car could take on the Falcon.
No. But that makes sense that you said that there's a pilot and a gunner.
Yeah.
Because I always thought of it as just like two pilots, which doesn't really make any sense at all, obviously.
But what a great, I mean, thinking of the location. And obviously, cloud cars aren't just on Bespin. They're in other places as well. We think of it as a cloud car because it flies within the clouds. It's a vehicle. It doesn't leave. And we think of Bespin of clouds, of course. But to be in that vehicle and just to be patrolling around, I mean, how cool. Just the views, just how cool would that
be? Like you say, it would be a great leisure vehicle, wouldn't it? I'm pretty sure it appeared in quite heavily in the Marvel comic story, the one where Lobot goes a bit crazy on Bespin.
Which is weird, because in the current run with the whole Dark Droid storyline, Lobot's gone a bit crazy. And it's such a beautiful throwback to that sort of having Bespin goodbye.
I need to see that.
Technical specifications.
7 meters long, so it's actually bigger than you think.
Maximum atmospheric speed.
1,500 kilometers per hour at maximum speed. 100 kilometer altitude, so it can go way up.
Into the atmosphere.
But not, exactly, but not out into space.
Engine specs.
It has a Cryomaster iron engine and a TX2 repulsor coil. So built for sustainability. I did a bit of writing for Build the Millennium Falcon, and one of the vehicles that I did work on was basically the fire truck from Coruscant.
Right, yes.
Revenge of the Sith, when they're, you know, following the...
When there's just a bit of the ship go back to land.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the invisible hand coming down, and there's just just the cockpit and the
camera. And the happy landing.
That's the one. And the fire vehicles, I mean, there was a figure that came out for that as well, which was a really nice figure.
Yeah.
But one of the things I worked into the, because he had a little bit of scope, was that those vehicles could stay up there a long time because they're drawing moisture from the atmosphere. But one of the things I always thought about the cloud car was because they're mining Tabana gas. Mm. Okay, Tabana gas is for blasters and so on and so forth, but there's quite possibly the option that if you could retrofit an engine to draw something from, if it's that kind of gaseous planet, which it is, that you could draw something that would keep the vehicle up there for a little bit longer.
For everything in one location, daily news, reviews, interviews, podcasts, video and social media feeds, bookmark FanthaTrax.com. for Star Wars news 24/7, 365.
It had one double blaster cannon, which of course we see firing in Empire.
Cargo capacity.
Cargo capacity is nothing. 10 kilograms. And
chocolate
one day's
bar.
Exactly.
There you go. That's all you need.
Literally a bounty bar.
You know what you do? A bounty or a Twix. Mm-hmm. You'd have one each. Take it into your own cockpit.
Yes.
That's it. Off you go. Enjoy your food.
What is it?
Fantastic.
It's a traffic... You should be writing this.
Vehicle usages.
It's a traffic patrol vehicle and an escort vessel, which again, you see that in Empire.
Yeah.
And it can be reconfigured. I found this fascinating. It can be reconfigured for use on icy worlds, a bit like the Snowspeeder or the Airspeeder. And that got me thinking, we are introduced in Empire Strikes Back to the Snowspeeder.
Yeah.
And you kind of think that's the primary function.
Exactly.
That's the basic model of what that is.
But effectively, it's an Airspeeder.
Exactly. And you find out that Airspeeders are coming around the galaxy and it's fitted for snow. The speeder bike, the same on Endor, that you get them retrofitted and changed out for icy conditions or wherever.
Well, it was great seeing the Airspeeder in Kenobi, wasn't
it?
Yes. And it's great when they sort of retrofitted the idea that there'd be speeder bikes on Hoth. So you do have it stuck in your head that that orange vehicle, those two Mr. Noses, only fly around Bespin.
Yeah. But and when you think as a kid, you assume that's the only place you've seen them. Like as a kid, you think, well, the only place you get biker scouts are on Endor.
Yeah.
When he goes, no, those vehicles are everywhere. AT-ATs are everywhere.
But interestingly, when you said at the start of this where they were manufactured, they're not Corellia for a change.
Yeah, it does make it. Actually, we've noticed this on Starty Ranges somewhere, that most ships seem to be Corellian, and this is Bespin Motors. This was built on Bespin. It was built
this
for Bespin.
This was your Trabant of the Star Wars galaxy.
That's the one. And so it's reconfigured for other worlds. The design eventually travelled around the galaxy for planetary and personal use. So
beautiful.
It's kind of a Bespin success story that this gorgeous design...
What a fantastic thing for somebody to be able to throw into one of these Star Wars series at some point.
Mm.
A silver version of that.
Yeah.
Or blue or something.
Anything.
Just something where you go, a lovely moment.
But it's interesting that, for example, Slave One was built as a patrol craft, and when it was taken out and work was done on it, it turned into the vehicle.
Oh, Boba Fett Starship, you mean?
Oh, sorry, you may have not understood the vehicle.
No, I didn't understand the vehicle
at
all.
I apologise.
No.
Boba Fett Starship. You know, there's these vehicles, you can laugh, it's all right. There's these repulsor vehicles, you know, these patrol craft, these vehicles made for planetary police forces that get sort of co-opted and turned into other things.
Yeah.
And again, yeah, you're right, it would be mega cool to see something in Season 4 Mando or Season 2 Ahsoka if we ever get it or whatever.
Mm.
And there you are, you have another planetary version of the cloud car.
One thing that I always found interesting about the Bespin scene, the outside of Cloud City, and I don't recall this being in the original release, but I do recall it being in Marvel Comics prior to the special edition being released, was the gas balloons.
Yes.
They look very much sort of patchwork sort of balloons.
Yeah.
I think I'm right in saying those were the Ugnaughts in the baskets.
Yeah.
So I can't think of the Twin Pod Cloud Car without thinking of those as well.
Yeah.
I don't. Were they ever released?
Well, I think the concept of these sort of other stations in the clouds, and that, as I say, Tibernopolis was one of them, was a Macquarie concept from quite early on, because Cloud City was originally designed for Star Wars, not for Empire.
Right.
So those concepts, I think, had sort of floated around for a while.
Hey.
And yeah, you're right, that arc that we mentioned, you know, the Empire to Jedi arc that was on Bespin with Lobot having a bit of trouble, was definitely featured those sort of balloon type concepts. So I think it was all sort of milling around at that point. And just on a total weird tangent, I'm thinking in 4 years' time, 3.5 years' time, it's the 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
And so if ever there's an opportunity to do another run at a special edition, if they want to tighten up things or tidy things up or make any tweaks or make any changes, that's the time to do it.
Yeah.
And there you go. You know, you've got options to add in some more of these beautiful Macquarie concepts if you want to do it. I don't know whether the fandom would stand it, but I'd be quite happy to see some tidied up mid-1990s VFX tidied up to look prettier than they currently are. But nevertheless, any time you can get some of those Macquarie concepts in there and out into the world is a good thing.
Do you know what I would love to see would be in the Empire Strikes Back, somehow they're squeezing some of the mini rigs. I would love to see an MLC-3 or a PDT-8.
Desperate.
I would love that.
Yeah, desperate. I know they've sort of worked some into the comics in different scales and stuff.
But to see those vehicles on film or a TV series, that'd be brilliant.
Filoni, obviously a student of Star Wars and a fan of all these little things that work so well that we love, even he had to get Hammerhead and Greedo and Walrus Man into their original costumes in the Clone Wars.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, little background snippets of seeing Walrus Man, Ponderaba, Man in his orange and blue. It was like, oh, this is amazing. You know, particularly keen on those four cantina creatures that came out in 79.
Hi, this is Kyle Newman, and you're listening to Fantatrax.
With the cloud car, to see that turn up in something else would be absolutely fantastic. Maybe when we do get the Lando film, and hopefully we'll get to see his original sort of adventures on Cloud City.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that was kind of where I was leading. Yeah. Is that, you know, it's gone from being a Disney Plus series, and now it's going to be a film. Alden Ehrenreich spoke recently about Solo, looking back at, you know, what he might have done if it had been the Lord and Miller thing, and what he ended up doing ultimately. And you've got to hope that he's involved and Eunice is involved as Chewie and all the other stuff.
Gotta be.
You feel that if they do it, I'd rather it was a series, I'll be honest. It was a series.
I think because you get more content.
You get more content and you feel like...
Deeper dive.
Yeah, and you feel like you're going to end up at Bespin.
Yeah.
You know, the Solo film told you how Han and Lando met, how Han and Chewie met, how he won the Falcon.
How he got his DL blaster.
That's it. He got his name. There's a lot in there. Yeah. And they
still a great
it.
Film.
Brilliant
still
film. But they covered it all in one hit, didn't they? But with, you know, if you do a Lando series, you can touch on all the Lando books, the Ocean and the Star Cave and all the bits they want to talk about.
Yeah.
And then they can bring him to Cloud City and it takes you to a place where you could see these twin pod cloud cars. Yeah. And finally, before we wrap up, you mentioned the Palitoy vehicle.
Yes, yeah.
Palitoy did the die-cast version as well.
Yes,
there's not been a huge other amount of versions of the cloud car out there. I do believe that Fantasy Flight did one for their range.
Micro Machines, obviously.
Micro Machines definitely did. I mean, they did that in a three-pack, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you had the little... Well, little. The cloud car was bigger than Cloud City, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
But I'd love to see some more vehicles, some more detail. And there's certainly more than just those ones we've mentioned out there. There's definitely more out there. And that's for Chris and Rich to talk about and collecting tracks. I'm glad we talked about the cloud car because, as I say, I think it's an underappreciated vehicle.
Yeah.
That I would certainly like to see more of.
Thanks for listening to Start Your Engines. If you want to be a part of the action and stay updated on all the latest Star Wars news, visit fantatrax.com and be sure to comment, like and share on any of our social media feeds at Fantatrax. You can reach out to us and send in your listeners' questions by emailing radio@fantatrax.com. Subscribe, leave a review, preferably a 5-star one, on Amazon Music, Audible, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher or smart speaker of choice. And as always, thanks to James Semple for composing the Fantatrax intro and our Start Your Engines opening music, Mark Daniel and Vanessa Marshall for our voiceovers, and of course, the data miners at Wikipedia. Remember to tune in to Good Morning Tatooine. It's live Sunday evenings at 9 o'clock UK time, 4 p.m. Eastern and 1 p.m. Pacific on Facebook, YouTube and Twitch. And check out our Fantatrax Radio Friday Night Rotation. It's every Friday night at 7 o'clock UK time for new episodes of The Phantom from Down Under, Planet Leia, Desert Planet Discs, Start Your Engines, Collecting Tracks, Cannon Fodder, and special episodes of Making Tracks, and every Tuesday at 7 o'clock UK time for your weekly episode of Making Tracks.
Coming up next on Fantatrax Radio, it's Making Tracks.